a sword meant to be carried only by a member of the Takeda clan itself. A flurry of words collided in her mind, searching for order amidst chaos, seeking truth amidst lies. Then the sword began to glow, faintly, but surely. Its blade began to warm and flicker. The light emanating from its core was pure white. From the shadows, a sinewy figure moved into view through a haze of smoke. His hands and face were covered in blood. He walked as though he were weary, old, broken. Marika watched, frozen in place, as Okami stepped closer, still soundless, stalking through the night. Raiden kept the sword steady. His features drew together in confusion, then smoothed as Okami, the wolf, stepped beside the leader of the Black Clan, his best friend. With a satisfied smile, Raiden nodded at Okami. "I've heard a great deal about you, Takeda Ranmaru." The only son of the last shogun stopped before the elder son of his mortal enemy, the man who had brought about the death of his father. Okami did not flinch from the sight of his father's sword, the Takeda sword, a weapon he had considered lost, and good riddance to it. The foreign cousin was a weapon meant for a man of truth, a man of principle. Not a pretender, not a thief, not a liar, not a coward. And yet the sight of it in Minamoto Raiden's grasp had ignited a long-dormant emotion, a feeling rich with strife, rich with history, replete with vengeance. Okami had denied it for so long. And his dear friend, his best friend, the son of Asano Naganori, the boy who had for nearly 7 years assumed his mantle. Okami had never asked him to do so. Tsuneoki had done it to keep him safe, had done it to make amends for the betrayal of his father, the actions that had led to the death of Takeda Shingen. But at his core, Okami had known there was more to it, more that his best friend had not yet said. He'd hoped Tsuneoki would tell him in time. He owed his dearest friend this. He would not allow Asano Naganori's son to perish in his stead, or answer for his own reticence. "What is it you want, Minamoto Raiden?" Okami asked. Okami. It was a name gifted to him when he'd first entered the fighting ring, not long after he'd bartered the last of his family's wealth to gain his abilities. A story for another time, from another life. The Honsho Wolf. He had never corrected anyone. He had sought only to learn, to destroy, to know what it felt like to feel truly powerful, to truly understand what had been stolen from his family. Raiden studied him, taking in his bloodied appearance, no doubt pleased to see how broken and weary Okami appeared. "My bride was captured on her way to Inako." The way he referred to Mariko as his irritated Okami immensely, almost as much as the pompous cut of the fool's armor. "Not by me or by any of my men."
"It does not matter. She is here now."
Okami breathed through his nose. "Are you quite certain of that?"
"We are," the Dragon of Kai said curtly.
"She does not answer to you,"
Okami replied in equally arrogant fashion. Hattori Kenshin moved forward, attempting to intimidate his quarry.
"She answers to her family, to her duty."
"Mariko answers only to herself,"
Okami said without flinching.
"Mariko?"
A smirk began to form across Raiden's face.
"She is one of us,"
the leader of the Black Clan answered simply.
and you will not lay a hand on any of our warriors."
Raiden laughed, as though the entire idea were ludicrous. "If she chooses to side with you, then I cannot help her."
At that, Hattori Kenshin stepped forward. Though he tried hard to conceal it, Okami saw the horror wash onto his features, bloom across his face like a brush fire.
"Mariko!" he yelled. "Where are you?"
Not a sound emitted from the shadows and smoke.
"Mariko!"
the Dragon of Kai called out once more, his voice increasingly desperate. Again, not a single answer.
"Put Takeda Ranmaru in chains,"
Raiden said as he reached for his reins and began retying the chin guard on his helmet.
"And kill anyone left standing."
Mariko heard the hum begin to gather even before Raiden made his final pronouncement. She grabbed Ren and handed him her sword. She would prevent any more blood from being spilled this night, no matter the cost. Mariko could not bear to lose anyone she loved.
"Kick me and strike me if you have to," she said to Ren in an insistent tone. "Make them believe you hate me. Trade me for your safety."
Ren's eyes widened as Mariko swiped mud across her face and clothes.
"Don't just stand there," she said. "Here's your chance to hate me as you've always hated me."
Ren swallowed.
I'm truly sorry," he said simply.
"It wasn't what I wanted to feel, Lord Blackbeard."
With that, he shoved her from the shadows.
"Try not to limp," she said through gritted teeth. "Be strong, unafraid."
The sword at her back faltered.
"Stand tall, Ren," she whispered. "The only true weakness is weakness of the spirit."
The men before her shouted when Mariko and Ren came into view. The hum around Okami only increased in intensity. Ranmaru, or rather Tsuneoki, put a hand on the wolf's shoulder. Only then did the hum slowly begin to dissipate. Mariko halted her march 10 paces away. Ren cleared his throat. In a flash, he positioned the blade of the Tanto at her throat.
"You wanted your bride, Minamoto Raiden? She is here. I'll return her to you in one piece, under one condition."
Raiden dropped his reins.
"Why would I want a bride who has betrayed me?" "This ridiculous girl?" Ren laughed maniacally. "She couldn't even betray herself. Cried herself to sleep most nights. Look at her. She's filthy. When we took her prisoner, we had no idea who she was."
Kenshin moved forward.
"Mariko? Is this true?"
It wasn't the sight of her brother that moved her to tears. It was the thought that those she cared for, her friends, the boy of her heart, the thought that they might die that made Mariko's sight begin to water. The tears gathered and spilled over, trailing down her muddy, bloody face.
"Kenshin," she said, her voice quavering. "Please, take me away from here. My Lord Raiden, these men kidnapped me. They are liars and thieves. They have treated me abominably."
The son of the Emperor remained unmoved. He continued to address Ren and not Mariko.
"Even if she is my bride, what makes you think we would trade Hattori Mariko for the lives of all the men left standing?"
Raiden said, his hand still resting on the hilt of his katana.
In that moment, Mariko had her first taste of hatred for her betrothed. And she knew it would not be her last, because it is not just one life to be traded.
"Leave the rest of my men alone, and I will go with you as well,"
Okami said quietly.
"No!"
Mariko fought back the urge to cry out, to scream in protest.
But Minamoto Raiden smiled his menacing smile, and the deal was done.
Ren pressed Mariko into the fold. Kenshin swept closer, and Mariko ran the rest of the way. As she passed Asano Tsuneoki, the real son of Asano Naganori, her eyes met his for a moment. They glowed yellow and feral as he nodded once. And the look was a promise. The beast would be at her back, keeping watch. Always. Kenshin took her in his arms, held her tight. The tears continued to spill down Mariko's face unchecked. Over her brother's shoulder, she saw Raiden shove Okami until he was kneeling in the mud, watched as Imperial soldiers bound his wrists in chains. Mariko closed her eyes tight, willing away the image. "I'll take you home," Kenshin said softly.
"No," Mariko said. "There's nothing left for me at home. Take me to Inako."
Her tear-filled gaze bore into the face of her betrothed, daring him to lay hands on Okami again.
"If my Lord Raiden will still have me, I'm ready to begin my life in the Imperial Court."
"Are you certain?" The tears burned in her eyes as she watched smiling, taunting Imperial soldiers drag Okami to his feet. "I have never been more certain of anything in my life." An ending. This was to be an unusual tea ceremony, in an unusual location, at an unusual time of night, but then her emperor had always been an unusual man. Her Imperial Majesty, Yamato Genmei, Empress of Wa, slowly made her way to the moon-viewing pavilion, each step itself a journey, a reminder. Her nerves were wound tight within her, but she did not show it. Years spent living in Heian Castle had taught her better than to wear her every emotion for all the world to see. The Emperor had asked her to join him for tea this night. It had been years since he'd asked her to partake in anything together. Years since he'd asked her to share in anything under the stars. And the moon-viewing pavilion was one of his favorite places to be on a warm summer's eve. In fact, this particular pavilion had been built for her. For his whore, Kanako. Genmei paused in her steps. She reached into her sleeve and drew out a tiny glass vial, slipped a drop beneath her tongue, and took a deep breath, letting the tincture spread down her throat, cool her burning nerves. She lifted her head high and continued down her path. The Emperor had asked her to join him this night. It had not been a mistake. Genmei reached the moon-viewing pavilion. The Emperor was already there, his hands behind his back, his head turned to the stars. He looked her way after she removed her lacquered zori and bowed at the top of the steps.
"I'm pleased you are here," he said with a smile.
"My sovereign asked me to come."
"You could have refused."
"I have never refused you anything."
"All the same, you could have done so tonight."
Genmei dipped her head.
"My life has been devoted to serving my emperor."
The emperor smiled again. He directed her toward the tatami mat, positioned before the iron tea brazier.
"Will you join me for tea?"
Again, Genmei bowed.
"Only if I may be allowed to serve it."
The emperor nodded warmly. The silks of Genmei's elegant kimono and tabi socks brushed across the mats as she knelt before the brazier. With utmost care and precision, she began by folding a piece of clean orange cloth in three, then rolling it into a neat bundle. Using one side of the cloth, she lifted the lid off the iron brazier. The emperor knelt across from her, settled into position, his features almost kind. Genmei used the long-handled bamboo ladle to spoon out steaming water into a small glazed porcelain bowl. She rinsed the bowl out, then, with another side of the orange cloth, wiped it clean before carefully portioning three tiny scoopfuls of pale green matcha powder into the porcelain bowl. With a bamboo whisk and another ladleful of steaming water, Genmei mixed the tea until it was frothy and light. Each of her movements was precise, calm, artful. Such was the tea ceremony, one of harmony, respect, purity, and tranquility. She wiped the edges once more before turning the bowl toward the Emperor, serving him with an almost hesitant smile. There was so much between them, so many unspoken sentiments. The Emperor drank deep from the bowl, set it down. Genmei rinsed it and repeated the process so that she, too, could drink from the same bowl. Share in the same ceremony of harmony and respect.
"I have been unkind to you,"
the Emperor said quietly when Genmei had finished drinking her tea. She said nothing, refused to allow hope to enter her mind. Hope was a poison to her world.
"It was not my wish for things to happen in such a way, but I do wish for things to change in the future," he continued.
"Forgive me, my sovereign, but how can things ever change when she is still here?"
Genmei said, her words laced with venom.
"Kanako is my royal consort. She is not leaving Heian Castle."
The Emperor's tone was firm.
"But I do want to mend things between us. I do want to create a bridge between our worlds."
"Why?"
"Because I look at our son, and I want our son to be better than we are, Genmei."
The Emperor sighed.
"I want him to see a better example."
"Roku is better than we are."
"I know I can be better, that we can be better."
The Emperor stood and made his way to the steps of the moon-viewing pavilion. He waited for Genmei, something he'd never done before. Each of her movements guarded, Genmei joined him. They donned their zori and walked together toward the pond's edge. Waxy lily pads glistened beneath a ghostly full moon. Frogs and cicadas sang together in discordant chorus. The Emperor cleared his throat.
"There is hatred between us."
"There is," Genmei agreed.
"Will you not agree to become better than our hatred? For the sake of our son."
Genmei turned toward him, looked her Emperor in the eye. He coughed as he met her gaze. His face became flushed. There was a time she would have given anything to hear him say these words. To hear him say he cared about her. Cared about their future, even in the barest of measures. The Emperor coughed again, a fist raised to his lips. Awareness began to take shape in his eyes. They bulged as his fingers grasped at his collar. He tried to shout, but his voice remained lodged in his throat. Genmei stood silent. She watched, tranquil, in harmony with herself. As the Emperor of Wa keeled over into the pond beside his favorite moon-viewing pavilion, Genmei looked at her husband for a moment.
"No, my sovereign," she spoke softly. "We cannot become better than our hatred, but to protect our son from your mistakes, I will do whatever is necessary."
With the toe of her lacquered sandal, she shoved his head beneath the water. Then Genmei breathed deep, waded into the pond, and began screaming.
"Help! Someone, please help! The Emperor has fallen!"
Above them, a swallow with iridescent wings took flight on a gust of wind, vanishing into the night. This is Nancy Wu. We hope you have enjoyed this unabridged production of Flame in the Mist by Renee Achdia. This program was directed by Fred Sanders. Executive producer, Sarah Jaffe. Text copyright 2017 by Renee Achdia. Production copyright 2017, Penguin Random House, LLC. All rights reserved.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.